3 Epiphany, Sunday C. First posted January 24, 2010. Isaiah 6:1-6, The Spirit of the Lord. Psalm 113, Helper of the Humble. I Corinthians 12:12-21, 2:6-2:7, Body and Members. Luke 4:14-21, The Spirit of the Lord. Isaiah. God has anointed his servant with the Spirit of the Lord, so that the servant can proclaim good news to the poor and afflicted. The Lord's servant has been sent to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives, to release those who are bound, to announce the year of the Lord's favor and the day of God's vengeance. To those who mourn in Zion, he gives them a garland of celebration instead of ashes of sorrow, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the cloak of praise instead of a faint spirit. They shall be called the planting of the Lord, oaks of righteousness, so that God will be glorified. They will rebuild ancient ruins and restore what had formerly been destroyed. The ruins of cities and devastations of many generations they will repair. Foreigners will be the servants who feed Israel's flocks, plow their fields, and dress their vines, but Israel will be priests of the Lord. People will acknowledge them as ministers of the Lord God. They will feast on the wealth of nations, and will exult in their riches. Psalm. Let us praise the Lord, all his servants. Let us praise the name, the character, and person of the Lord. From now on for all eternity, may we bless his name. Let his name be praised from sunrise to sunset. The greatness of the Lord is above all nations, and his glory honor. His goodness and righteousness is higher than the heavens. Who can compare to the Lord our God? He is enthroned on high above heaven, but he sees far down to earth. He lifts the poor and needy from the dust and from the ash heap, and makes them sit among princes of the people. To the barren woman he gives a home and children, so that she can rejoice in them. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians. Paul uses the analogy of the human body to describe the relationship of the church and its members. Just as a human body, though composed of many members, is one unified body, so it is with Christ. We are all baptized into Christ by one Spirit into one body, both Jew and Greek, slave and free, and we all participate in the one Spirit. The body doesn't consist of a single member, but many. The members have different functions, but one member cannot deny its part in the body just because it doesn't have a certain gift. The body needs the participation of every member to function properly. As God has designed the various members of a physical body work together, so it is in the church. Neither can the body decide that it has no need for a certain member. The suffering of one member is shared by all, and all rejoice when one is honored. The church is the body of Christ, and believers are individual members of it. Luke. After Jesus had been tempted in the wilderness, he returned to Galilee, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. He went throughout Galilee teaching in synagogues, and was held in honor by all. In Nazareth, where he had grown up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath, as had been his custom. He stood up to read the scripture, and the book scroll of Isaiah was given to him. He opened it to the passage in Isaiah 6:1-6, and read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Luke 4:18-19. Closing the book, Jesus sat back down, and every person in the synagogue was looking at him. Jesus began to speak, saying that they had just witnessed the fulfillment of this text. Commentary. This text in Isaiah is believed to have been written around 530 to 510 BC. Babylon had been conquered in 539 BC by Cyrus of Persia, who allowed the exiles to return to their promised land during the following generation. God had promised that the exiles would return after 70 years, Jeremiah 25:11-12, which is counted from the destruction of the temple in 587 BC by King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, until dedication of the rebuilt temple in 517 BC. Isaiah was a fulfillment of the Lord's servant, who by the Holy Spirit announced good tidings of release for the exiles and the year of the Lord's favor compared to the day of God's vengeance. He changed their mourning to gladness and praise. They would rebuild the ruins of Jerusalem and the temple. Before the coming of Jesus Christ, only a few people at any time who were called by the Lord to be his prophets were anointed with the Holy Spirit. God had established a concept of anointing prophets, priests, and kings with olive oil as a symbol of God's selection and approval. Anointing of kings was tantamount to coronation. Anointing with oil was also used for healing and for a sign of hospitality and celebration. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is characterized as the oil of gladness. Jesus came to make it possible for all of God's people to be anointed with the Holy Spirit. Numbers 11:25-29, John 7:37-39, 14:15-17. Jesus is the only one who baptizes, anoints with the Holy Spirit. John 1:31-34. Only his disciples who trust and obey Jesus. John 14:15-17. The Holy Spirit is the seal and guarantee that one is in Christ and has eternal life. 2 Corinthians 1:22. Ephesians 1:13-14. Romans 8:9b-11:15-16. The church is there to the ministry of John the Baptizer to call people to repent and be baptized with water as spiritual cleansing by faith, obedient trust in Jesus, to prepare them to receive Jesus and the anointing of the indwelling Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ. Romans 8:9. The anointing with the Holy Spirit began to be fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, the birthday of the church. Acts 2:1-13. God's word is eternally true and is fulfilled over and over as the conditions for its fulfillment are met. Christians are by definition disciples of Jesus Christ. Acts 1:1-6c, who have been born again. John 3:3-5-8, by the anointing of the indwelling Holy Spirit, and then are guided and empowered by the Holy Spirit to fulfill the great commission which Jesus gave to his disciples. Matthew 28:19-20, to be carried out only after they had received the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Luke 24:49. Acts 1:4-5-8. Each born-again Christian is a fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy of the Lord's Spirit-filled servant. Each one is called to be a minister of the Lord. Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. Jesus is the Messiah, Christ. Both words mean anointed in Hebrew and Greek respectively. The Gospels testify that Jesus was doing the things foretold by Isaiah of the Lord's servant. When John the Baptizer had been imprisoned, he sent his disciples to Jesus, seeking reassurance that Jesus was the Messiah. Jesus told them to report to John what they had seen Jesus doing that very hour. The blind, the deaf, the lame, and lepers are healed, and the poor hear good news, the gospel of forgiveness of sin, salvation from eternal condemnation, and restoration of fellowship with God, which was broken by sin, through faith, obedient trust in Jesus. Matthew 1:1-5. Jesus promises his disciples, his servants, that he will give them the anointing of the Holy Spirit if they will keep his commandments. John 14:15-17. But he wants to be sure that we're committed before he does, because it is unrepeatable. Hebrews 6:4-6. By the indwelling Holy Spirit, we personally experience the love and joy of the Lord's presence. We become one body in Christ by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit guides and empowers each member individually so that together our work fulfills Christ's mission of forgiveness and salvation. I attend a mega church where I only participate in worship because my internet ministry requires my full time. I'm delighted to see how what I'm doing online and what my pastor preaches are so in agreement, but I realize that we are each led independently by the one and the same Holy Spirit. John was given a visible sign to reveal who the Messiah was, and John testified that he had seen the sign of the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove descend and stay upon Jesus. So John was able to point people to Jesus as the Messiah who baptizes with the indwelling Holy Spirit. John 1:31-34. Jesus was going from synagogue to synagogue in Galilee, and his teaching was highly regarded by the people, except in Nazareth, where Jesus grew up. They thought they knew so much about Jesus, Luke 4:2b, that they couldn't accept him as the Messiah. Jesus gently confronted them with their spiritual problem, but they got so angry, they tried to throw Jesus off a cliff, since the town was built on a hill, Luke 4:23-30. Jesus came to show us how to be servants of the Lord. That is what God's people are called to be. The people of Nazareth thought Jesus was making himself appear to be better than they. We are all born into this world physically alive, but spiritually unborn, and this lifetime is our only opportunity to be spiritually reborn to eternal life. Otherwise we will die eternally in hell with all evil. Jesus was speaking the truth in love. The way he said it wasn't combative, but the Nazarenes weren't willing to be confronted with the truth. They rejected the only one who could heal their spiritual need and give them eternal life. There is a day coming when we will all be accountable to Jesus for what we have done in this lifetime. In that day Jesus will command, and we will have no choice but to obey. Those who have accepted Jesus as their Savior and Lord will have been spiritually born again in this lifetime, and will enter God's eternal kingdom in heaven, a new creation restored to paradise before the corruption of sin. Those who have rejected Jesus and have refused or simply failed to trust and obey Jesus will be condemned to eternal death and destruction in hell with all evil, Matthew 25 31-46. 2 Thessalonians 1:5-10. Is Jesus your Lord? Are you Jesus' disciple? Are you trusting and obeying Jesus? Have you received the indwelling Holy Spirit since you first truly believed Acts 1:9-2? Are you making disciples of Jesus Christ and teaching them to obey all that Jesus commands, Matthew 28:18-20? Do you know with certainty where you will spend eternity, 1 John 5:11-13, Ephesians 1:13-14?